Today on Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, we're talking about how to declutter when you're overwhelmed. Are you wondering how to declutter when it feels like you're wading through molasses? Do you long for emotional ease by releasing some of your feeling clutter? Have you ever wondered if decluttering reduces stress? Learn how to clear clutter as we continue our month focusing on frequently asked questions. Do you control your clutter, or does your clutter control you? On Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, we'll teach you awareness as well as action steps to create change in your life. Come on, let's get started. Today's episode is inspired by frequently asked questions. And it's also inspired because I believe mental and emotional clutter is important to release. I had a lot of mental and emotional clutter, and I believe that contributed to stress, which contributed to 2 trips to the ER. Anytime I read the news these days, I'm more convinced we have a mental health crisis going on, not only in the US where I live, but all over the world. Some of the questions today are going to focus on that, to help you declutter your life. And again, as I've talked, as you work in one area, it automatically affects another. But mental health is so critical today. And I also believe emotional health, we don't talk about that as much. How important it is to feel your feelings, to be in touch with your feelings, be able to express in a healthy way. I think of that 6-year-old who was shot because the driver, if I understand everything correctly, and they just arrested the couple, thought that the mother had cut him off in traffic. So you get cut off in traffic and you're going to shoot someone. I don't believe they intended to kill that little boy, but you shot at a car. That tells me that that was a complete overreaction, and boy, do you have mental clutter. So for me, these kind of go hand in hand. And so these are questions that people are curious to answers to. So as with last week's episode and coming up, 3 questions answered. How do you declutter when overwhelmed? Fantastic question. I talk about being overwhelmed a lot, and many of us who have clutter are overwhelmed. And so if we're overwhelmed, we create clutter. If we have clutter, we become overwhelmed. So it's kind of has that relationship. So how do you get out of this? First thing I'm going to tell you is, if all else fails, breathe. When I first started my business doing decluttering and organization, I had worked on multiple rooms in this house, really lovely first client. And then I got to the pantry. This pantry was the biggest pantry I'd ever seen. It must have been 6, 7, 8 feet tall. Like, I had to be on a step stool to reach all the way up. And it's like I had a complete brain fart. I forgot everything that I ever knew with my job, completely overwhelmed. So I just sat and took deep breaths. Hey, Julie, just sat. And so I probably took a minute, took some deep breaths, got grounded. And then I was like, okay, I know what I need to do. But I just needed that minute or two to get centered and start breathing and to decrease the feeling of overwhelm, decrease the feeling of, oh my gosh, this is Mount Olympus, Mount Everest. I can't climb it. Whenever you're overwhelmed, just breathe. Ground is another good thing, that you get in your body. When you're overwhelmed and you're kind of in panic, you leave your body. That's a spiritual, emotional state. And so when you ground, you can get back into your body. Thank goodness for editing. I just had a sneezing fit there. So if you breathe, you ground, you get in your body, that is going to completely help get you calmer and being less overwhelmed. So the first thing, kind of set yourself up to get calm. Then break down into manageable steps. You know, one of the things I did when writing the book was explain how to break everything down to make it easier. Because if you're overwhelmed, it's because you probably think there are a zillion things to do. But if you write it down, and then, you know what, I write itty bitty steps because I feel really accomplished when I cross something off my list. I will never go completely digital because I love the feel of pen and paper. I have my big old paper planner that I went back to because I had so much to worry about this year. So, or keep track of, let's use better words there. break everything down into manageable steps. You know, when I did the journals, I give an extra step. And you might think, oh, I don't want to do that. And that's okay. But that's just one more step to help decrease the overwhelm. But just break it down. There are things that you can do, tasks that you can do, one a day. Really, when we break them down, it's going to take a lot less time than you normally think. Next thing you're going to want to do that will help with overwhelm is prioritize. If I went into a home and they needed everything decluttered and organized, which has happened, that's a lot. That's really overwhelming. But if you say, okay, what are your first three priorities? What are most important for you to do right now? Say if you have a deadline and you're having your kitchen updated. I was at the dentist this morning and I always watch HGTV there because I don't get HGTV. And I always am like, oh, let me just have a moment and fantasize. Although some of these houses, I'm like, this one had an entrance that was two stories tall. It looked like two and a half almost. And our old house had that. And I absolutely did not like it. So anyway, I had a lot of fun watching HGTV, but prioritize. So that's what this couple did. They wanted an updated living room, some things updated in the kitchen, and an updated master bath. So if you prioritize, then you don't have to think, oh, I've got 1,000 things to do. Okay, what are the three things that I need to do? And keep prioritizing. So you take it, those are the three rooms you want to upgrade or the three rooms you want to declutter. Then you stay, okay, then I'm going to start with the one room. And then I'm going to make three things, tasks that are priorities for me to do today. Oh, if I can't pay my mortgage on time, then I'm going to make sure I have a system set up. That's a priority for me. So keep on prioritizing, and that's going to support you in less overwhelm. Plan. It's important to take the time to plan. You know, it's something maybe you can devote a few minutes, or maybe you tackle bigger chunks on the weekend. Whatever it is, the more you plan, the easier it becomes. And I think I've told this story before we got married. I know my father's like, woo, finally, she's getting married. He cracked me up because he had a contingency for rain. He said, if there's a big windstorm, you know, Mrs. Squibb, our neighbor, has put a reservation on the gym in case we need to move everyone there. And I'm just kind of cracking up because he's like, oh, you know, we can fit everyone. You can get married on little screen and porch and we should be able to fit everyone. I was like, we're not going to have weather problems. It's going to be an awesome day. And it was. But I also believe, because my dad, who says this to me often, you know, I believe if chance favors the prepared mind. And so I think your odds are better if you plan. I've always felt that way. So do whatever you can to plan. And again, when you break these steps down, when you plan, that helps take away the overwhelm. Because when you're like, oh my gosh, decisions are so much, you take the energy, you take the bite out of that when you break them down, when you plan. It just makes everything a lot easier to tackle. You know, we have been spending months since last July, I knew we were moving. So when I started the trips up to West Virginia, I took a load. I'm like, oh, and you know what I did was, because I've been through this, is there some fragile things that we have, like all my wedding dishes. So I packed those up. It's going to reduce my stress and it's going to get moved and not get broken. And it's easy and I can unload everything by myself. And so by doing that, you know, if we hadn't had the beach last week, guys, I don't think that I could have done it. I just really was, my tank was empty. I needed to rest and recharge. Planning, all this planning I've been doing and having things month and planning by week has made a huge difference, because everything going on with my mom, it would otherwise be overwhelming. Take breaks. I just mentioned a moment ago, I needed to rest and recharge. I set up a automatic responder on the email. I just really vegged. We did an escape room at a really tough one. And we did pretty well. We probably needed 5 or 10 more minutes, but we were with two teens and the boys did a good job. I had a complete mental break when I do that. And it was amazing. So it's important to take breaks, get rest and relaxation. The thing you want to make sure of is you don't get stuck there. You don't remain and break. Because that can happen too. We're just like, oh, I don't need to do anymore. It's kind of like, if I took a break this week, we probably wouldn't get moved. But I keep telling myself, you know what? You got to push hard for less than a week and you'll be moved. And I think the mental, just being out of this neighborhood, I'm over it. So I think that being with family, being with my mother, that's going to help take away guilt. So on one hand, I'll take breaks, like I'm taking a couple days off, use that autoresponder again, and then I'll get back on the horse. But I know, and the same with my husband, he needed a break last week. We are getting help, loading, doing all those things that can help. Because if I thought of all the stuff, I mean, moving's a big thing. If I thought about it too much, I'd be overwhelmed. So that's why I'm making sure I'm taking care of myself. Be decisive. You can get stuck in the land of indecisiveness, and that just creates overwhelm. Overwhelm, maybe you're like, oh, I feel like I have so many choices. I don't know what to do. What if I make the wrong choice? That was a big fear of mine. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to make the wrong choice. And I've kind of let that go. I have that sign that says nothing that is for you goes by you. And I truly believe that. And, you know, if I make a mistake, which I don't like to use because it's lessons learned, then I'll course correct. But the easier to make decisions, okay, we don't want that, we'll donate it, bam. Not like, and then adding to overwhelm. So be decisive. And finally, get support. I know I mentioned that last episode, and I just think it's really important to remember, if you're overwhelmed, to get help and to get support, because a lot of us believe, oh, I need to go it alone. I need to do it alone. And that's not true, especially if you have the means to get support. Why not? Because if you are the same place you were a year or two ago, you have to ask what it's costing you if you don't get support. And I get it. You know, there's certain things I've learned to farm out. Like I can do a lot on my web, but I have a web person now. And I could probably sit and try and figure out, just do it. It's worth it to me. Just change it. I don't have the energy to do that. So if you are feeling overwhelmed, those are my suggestions on how you can declutter. Do you speak kindly or critically to yourself? Are you always trying to control people, events, or outcomes? How supportive is the company you keep? Ready to release stress and embrace tranquility? Get control of your clutter so your clutter doesn't control you. Reclaim time, money, sanity, and resources. Emotional Got Clutter 365 journal prompt supports you in clearing your emotional clutter. Free gift with purchase to support you even more in your journey to declutter your life. Question number two, how do I get rid of emotional clutter? Another fantastic question. What I would say is begin with what you can express or understand. And what I mean by this is start with what you know. If you're angry about something, start there. If you're sad, start there. If you are bored, begin there. Sometimes we overcomplicate stuff, and our awareness, we have that starting point of awareness, and then it's the ego gets involved and try to overcomplicate it. So begin with what you can express or understand. You know, if someone cut you off in traffic and that makes you angry, if you're sad because you're moving, express that, understand it. And that's where you start. And the more personal growth work I do, the more I work on myself, I have found that it's layers. It really is. And that a lot of the times what is actually happening, it's not really about that. It's at a deeper level. And I try to view everything through the lens as this is going to support me in healing. And I know I feel better when I heal. And that's where I try to have my focus. So know that there are layers. And know that in most cases, I think of Eckhart Tolle and his Night of Darkness, and then he was enlightened or pretty well off. There are going to be layers. And I've found a lot of times beneath sadness is anger. And then there might be another level of sadness. And so let's go the layers. Just keep with it. And I don't expect to do this 24/7. I don't sit here and consciously say, oh, I'm going to clear my emotional clutter. Say, what am I feeling? Like, as I mentioned a moment ago, what can I start with? What's really bothering me? Like the new president of the HOA who came with us to court to support us during our solar panel battle is now president and has completely changed. He acted like he had never even met me, and he was dropping. I'm like, what's this? He's like, oh, it's, you know, this kind of fake thing. It's a news. I'm like, I don't want it. Take it. Now, I could have said, you lack courage. You know, you're two-faced. We know you complained about our garbage can, blah, blah. I didn't go there. I just said, I don't want that. I don't want to be done with that. So I have to express my anger. You express your anger or anything, then you can help release it. And it wasn't worth the time or effort. I've mentioned before that I feel like the neighborhood's concrete blocks. And so I'm like, I don't want to waste my energy with that. It's not my job to enlighten them. They have to figure out their own path. And so it's more important for me to just be like, take your dumb newsletter. I didn't even say dumb. I was like, I don't want this. Take your rubber band, take your newsletter. Just be done. I didn't want your energy around me. I'm almost out of here. And understand, like, okay, the deeper thing is the injustice. So just another opportunity to heal and work on releasing that sense of injustice. Acknowledge where you need to improve. Most people are unable or many times unwilling to acknowledge where they need to improve. It's kind of, I crack up when I try not to be someone that offers unsolicited advice. I have before mentioned stuff, and I try not to do it because sometimes it's not well received. And so I rarely do it. But if something, we hired someone, they flaked, and I was said, it's in the description, the time that I needed, and you know, it was very apparent, you know, I can't teach you to read or have reading comprehension. Well, they didn't like that, but it was the truth. I put everything up front. I wasn't trying to accepting anything. And I just was like, I'm not going to engage. This person didn't want to hear that they needed to improve by giving their word. I didn't do that to the first person that flaked with a high school kid. And I said, look, I've got a lot going on. My mother's dying. Don't flake on me. And then I went to confirm him and he flaked. But, you know, again, whatever, what you put out, you get back. I didn't take the time to say anything because I thought he's not going to hear it and I'm not going to waste my time. But don't be like that. Don't judge yourself. Just recognize what's going on and acknowledge, okay, you know what? I get angry really easily. You know what? Injustice drives me nutso. You know what? I seem to eat when I'm unemotional. I seem to eat when I'm very emotional. Now, those are just three quick examples from my life. But I know I have improved in those areas, so I want to acknowledge that all the work that I've done, and know I have more work to do. Accept life as it is. You know what you have control over and can change? You, and you only. But this can go a really long way. I think one of my expectations, which, to quote the great writer Annie Lamont, expectations are resentment under construction, I think is what she said. Whatever it is, it's brilliant. I think one of my failings was I expected, well, of course everyone's going to want justice and see how we've been treated unfairly, and they won't want arbitrary and capricious and enforcement of the CCNR. Well, yeah, they do. Because as long as they're the ones not getting in trouble because their friends are on the board. So I had to accept I can't change them. I can only change myself, and I can change my response and what I think and feel. So the more that you can kind of get into that groove, the easier it is. And you just keep on working on yourself. And the more your junk you let go, life's just easier. You're happier. You're less stressed. I'm going to do a newsletter on it, but I should do an episode on it. I'm going to talk about the whole thing in the process of finding a house, because I think there's a lot of wisdom in that. So just accept where you can. Express what you're feeling. No emotion is right or wrong. You wouldn't have angry knee-jerk reactions if you regularly expressed how you felt. Again, there are a couple people who were watching Billions, which I highly recommend. Damien, what's his name? Just lost his wife, and she was in the Harry Potter series. Damien the Redhead, he's from the UK, and Paul Giamatti, great, fantastic actors. They're always when my favorite scenes when those two are having a battle of the ego. My point with that is sometimes your ego is just going to override or overrule everything, and you're still going to have angry reactions, even if you express what you're feeling, if you have a big egomaniac, as one example. So just take the time. You know, I'm sad. Even just say, maybe you can't cry, but you say, I'm sad. I'm disappointed. I'm hurt. You know, when I learned communications ages ago when I worked at USC, they always talked about express how it makes you feel, not what the other person did. Like, you did something that was wrong. I'm disappointed in your action. Completely changes the dynamics. People can tend to hear you more easily. But the older I get and the more work I've done, it's more important. I see the value more important for myself as opposed to the other person. So express what you're feeling. And then finally, do something. That's awareness plus action equals change. If you know you're angry all the time, begin to meditate. My father has started, it's been really stressful with my mother, and has started to do a yoga nidra. Got my niece doing it, got my brother doing it. When we move in a week, I'm going to start it. He's made a huge difference. He doesn't get upset. And he said to me at one point, how do you not get upset at your mother? And she has some dementia going on, which is, my grandmother died of Alzheimer's. So I have a little bit of that as background. And I think because she's dying and like, how can I be angry? And it's the dementia talking. Now, some of it's her personality. Don't get me wrong. I love her dearly, but she's human like the rest of us. But that's the frame of mind I came with, which made a huge difference. So my father has found with yoga nidra that helps. So if you're angry all the time, meditate. Talk to someone. Do some journaling. Just takes time to contemplate. Whatever action you take, even 5 minutes a day, deep breathing. If you're like, I just can't, then start with breath. Start with grounding. And then you build upon that. I refuse to believe that you don't have time. You don't have the ability. Those are excuses. You can do something if you choose. And choosing to do nothing is a choice. So take action in some way, shape, or form. That's why I always have that at the end of the episodes. And finally, question number 3, does decluttering reduce stress? Yes, yes, and yes. It's probably more now, but 80% of medical expenditures are due to stress. I ended up twice in the hospital due to stress. I still haven't gotten the first ER bill from February, which was out of state. So I'm not sure how that's going to pan out. I just paid the last little over $500. So we are square. I mean, but they billed, it's just nuts to me. They billed like $21,000 for an ER, which, again, complicated problem. I don't have the brain that can figure that out. But if 80% are reduced to stress, what a motivator to declutter. Clutter has been implicated in depression, anxiety, and general dampening of brain function. Influences your weight and cardiovascular health, and it's a factor of non-compliance with meds and exercise. I've seen all this, guys. It's the truth. Experts in organization and mental health agree that getting organized enhances all levels of health. I know we're talking about decluttering, but I'll throw that in. UCLA did some research, and if you Google that, you'll be able to find out that. And they have concluded that living in a cluttered home can create a subtle, constant sense of stress. I think that's so true. Again, go to a room that's decluttered and go to a space that isn't. You can literally feel that. If you have this prolonged stress, it's going to throw you into a state of low grade, perpetual flight or fight, which I didn't realize is. And that's what we have to help us survive. And so when that happens, it involves many of your body systems and organs and functions, and it minimizes unnecessary functions during time of stress. When you are in optimum health, it helps you maintain your physical and psychological health. And in Cornell, in 2016, Cornell did a study, Cornell University, and stress is triggered with coping and avoidance strategies like eating junk food, oversleeping, or binge watching Netflix. I'm a binge watcher, I'll have to admit that. So it can add to triggers and avoiding things. I've talked about this earlier, the question about what do you do when you're overwhelmed? It also depletes your energy that you need to deal with stress. And there are physiological changes that can occur. And this is from the Cornell study. Increased blood pressure, heart rate, increased blood sugars, and increased fats in the blood, and the diversion of blood flow to the muscles from other parts of the body. So those are just 5 examples. And the UCLA study found that the amount of stress women experience at home is directly proportional to the amount of stuff they and their family have accumulated. I mean, that's pretty fascinating if you think of it. It's difficult to maintain a state of wellness over time when your body is consistently under stress. I mean, you don't need to have a PhD to understand that. Clutter costs you time. The average person spends an hour daily looking for stuff. So that's going to increase your stress. When your house becomes overwhelmed, your space becomes overwhelmed, that's going to, bottom line, contribute to your stress. So I believe 1,000% decluttering reduces your stress. If you look at mental clutter, calming your mind reduces stress. You look at emotional clutter, expressing your emotions, not keeping them bottled up, that reduces stress. Your spiritual clutter, when you're able to forgive, when you can come from a place of gratitude, that reduces your stress. When you're not fighting in your relationships over clutter and the stuff you have, that reduces stress. If you aren't in debt, if you're not worried about finances all the time, that reduces your stress. So any area that you declutter your life, you are reducing your stress. Take actions from today's podcast. Create a plan to declutter so you won't feel overwhelmed. Practice mindfulness. Acknowledge your emotions. Feel your feelings. Understand how clearing your clutter can reduce your stress. Declutter for better health. On our next episode, we're talking about how clutter affects your brain. Go out, clear your clutter to create the life you choose, deserve, and desire. When you clear your clutter, you can share your gifts with the world. Sign up for our free newsletter at reawakenyourbrilliance.com. If you've enjoyed Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, please rate, review, and share us.